Your speaker is Winfred Claiborne.
We may be tempted to believe the ability to love comes from within us. We choose to love our families, our neighbors, and maybe even love God. We may imagine that all of this love and devotion come from within our own goodness. The Apostle John denies that view of love. He tells us of love's origin in terms that we should have no difficulty understanding. The King James Version reads, "We love Him because He first loved us." 1 John 4:19. I believe the King James Version and the New King James Version are the only two versions I have that insert the word Him in this verse. The New Revised Standard Version, the New American Standard Bible, the English Standard Version, and others render the verse, "We love because He first loved us." John has already pointed out in this chapter, God is love, 1 John 4:8 and 16. While love is a choice, we could not make that choice without God's enabling power and without His example of loving. He is the source of love. Without God, we would not know what love means and how we are to love Him and one another. That is one of the reasons some religions show little love for anyone. They do not have the right source of love. It does not come from God Almighty. We see God's love and His rich provisions for our life here on earth. He created the universe and adapted it for human habitation. What if the world were just a little different, a little more oxygen or a little more nitrogen? Life on earth would be impossible. In 1944, A. Cressy Morrison, past president of the New York Academy of Sciences, wrote a little book showing how God had arranged the world to meet man's needs or had adapted man to the world as He created it. Morrison's book has the title, "Man Does Not Stand Alone." One brief excerpt will show God's gracious arrangements for our welfare. The moon is 240,000 miles away, and the tides twice a day are usually a gentle reminder of its presence. Tides of the ocean run as high as 60 feet in some places, and even the crust of the earth is bent outward several inches by the moon's attraction. If our moon was, say, 50,000 miles away instead of its respectable distance, our tides would be so enormous that twice a day all the lowland of all the continents would be submerged by a rush of water so enormous that even the mountains would soon be eroded away, and probably no continent could have risen from the depths fast enough to exist today. The earth would crack with a turmoil, and the tides in the air would create daily hurricanes. Page 18. Is it even remotely possible that all of this could exist by chance? Can you not see the hand of our loving God as He arranged for us to live on this earth? In addition to providing us a suitable place to live, He has also given us everything that is needful for us to survive: food, clothing, and shelter. Should not all of us rejoice in what God has done for us from a purely physical viewpoint? But what I have said about our physical welfare is nothing compared to the spiritual arrangements He has made for us. God so loved us that He sent His Son into the world to redeem us from our sins. Jesus explained, "For the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give His life a ransom for many." Matthew 20:28. The Apostle Paul asked, "What? Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own? For you are bought with the price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. How should we show our gratitude to God for His infinite goodness? Should we not dedicate our lives to serving Him and to serving our fellow men? Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.